You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, or afternoon, whatever the case may be. There's a lot of information I'm going to give you tonight. Some of it is going to absolutely astound you. Some of it, those of you who wait for our annual sale every year are going to be very happy, finally. And I have a letter to read. I have some comments on the people running for president in the next presidential election. As if you probably can't already guess what I'm going to say. And we're going to have some good music tonight, of course, as always, on the Hour of the Time. So while you're scurrying around to get your pen and paper, and believe me, tonight you better have pen and paper. Pen and paper, pen and paper, pen and paper. While you're scurrying around to get that, we'll just listen to this. Veritas issue number 21 is in the mail. Listen to me carefully. Veritas issue number 21 is in the mail. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. The headline story is Army invades Texas cities, live explosions and ammunitions used. Another story on the front page, those mysterious lines in the sky. Everything you ever wanted to know about the facts concerning contrails. How do they form? Why do there seem to be so many more nowadays? Do they really cause clouds to form? Are we being poisoned? Are the contrails being sprayed intentionally to cause people to die? Well, read your copy of Veritas and you'll find out the answers to all of those questions. Also on the front page, another story, Operation Garden Plot the United States Civil Disturbance Plan 55-2. And another story, Biosite. That's a corporation. Biosite. Listen to this, folks. You talk about something that's absolutely absurd. Biosite patents human umbilical cord cells. Wow. Does that mean you can't, if you're a woman, you can't get pregnant and manufacture an umbilical cord to feed your baby unless you have permission from the patent holder? Lots of letters to the editor, of course. Another story on page 2, landmine legislation. And these are laws that have been recently passed that are like landmines. I mean, if you run into one of these laws, you're going to get hurt. Clinton's big lie on page 3. Page 4, electronic frisking device. Did you know that even though the Constitution forbids searches without a warrant, they now have electronic frisking devices? You can be walking down the street. They can point this at you and tell everything you have in your pockets. And see right through your clothing. Yes, I'm not joking, folks, and it's right here in this issue of Veritas. Another big article on NASA's spacesuit cooling, and we just tell you what they tell us. See, I've been telling you for years this can't work in a vacuum in space. And so we printed NASA's own explanation of how they cool spacesuits, and without adding anything to it, you can figure it out for yourself. The Sheeple Cartoon, a trademark of Veritas. Buyback blame for illegal trade. That's a story about the failed gun confiscation laws in Australia. Terminator technology. New patent aims to prevent farmers from saving seed. And lots more in this issue. United Nations restructuring for global governance. Now, if you never believed there's going to be world government, you better wake up. You're living in a dreamland. Global government by 2000 is the name of another story. Judge argues against jury nullification. That's on page 8. And some more good cartoons by Terry Wilson, who has become the Veritas cartoonist, by the way, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. China to curb population growth. Wow. You know, China's been doing that throughout their history, and now they even want to put in more stringent measures. I don't know why. They've got their population pretty much under control. You see, if you're a family in China, you are forbidden by law to have more than one child. And there are severe penalties if you do have more than one child. And depending upon how many more children you have depends upon how stiff and severe and terrible that punishment and those penalties get. They can get pretty stiff. Now, folks, if you're not subscribing to Veritas, you need to do it right now. This is the best newspaper, bar none, in the whole United States of America. And we have a lot of foreign subscribers in all different countries all around the world who subscribe to this paper because it's the only one that tells them the truth about what's happening in this country, the United States of America. So no matter where you live in the world, if you want to know the truth about what's happening in this country, you need to read Veritas. Veritas, by the way, is Latin for truth. And it certainly does contain the truth, much more than a lot of people want to know about. If you're not subscribing to Veritas, you need to do it now. You need to subscribe now. And the way you can do that is to send a blank money order or cash in the amount of $35 for 12 issues or $20 for 6 issues to Veritas. Remember, it's got to be a blank money order or cash. No checks will be accepted. No filled-in money orders will be accepted. Keep your receipt. That's your proof. And nobody has ever lost any money subscribing to or purchasing anything that we have, ever. We're honest folks. We have no desire whatsoever to take anybody's money, so you can feel safe sending us blank money orders in cash. And people do it every day, every single day. So if you want to subscribe to Veritas, blank money order or cash in the amount of $35 for 12 issues or $20 for 6 issues, then folks, this paper is worth every penny of it. It's not a newsletter. It is not a newsletter. It is not a tabloid. It is a full-size newspaper. Full-size newspaper. If you'd like to subscribe, send $35 in cash or blank money order in the amount of $35 for 12 issues or $20 for 6 issues to Veritas. That's spelled V as in Victor, E-R-I-T-A-S, V-E-R-I-T-A-S, P.O. Box 1450. That's P.O. Box 1450. Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. One more time. Veritas. P.O. Box 1450. That's P.O. Box 1450. Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. And some of these articles will just absolutely astound you, will open your eyes, and we challenge you to prove us wrong, just in, as in everything else. And we also admonish you to listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely nothing unless you can prove it in your own research, which means everything that I say, everything that I write, everything that I publish, everything that I produce, everything that your minister, preacher, godfather, your mother, your father, your mayor, your congressman, your senator, William Cigar Clinton, or any of these other people tell you. That means anybody. We have come to this point in history because we have blindly trusted and believed in people who have done us wrong. They've done us wrong. You need to read Veritas. It will give you an entirely different view of everything. And it's not always what you think it's going to be. For instance, we tell the truth in Veritas. And in this issue of Veritas, issue number 21, one of the stories that you will find extremely interesting is Those Mysterious Lines in the Sky, the story about the contrails, written and researched by my friend, good friend Jay Reynolds. And what he discloses there is amazing in light of what everybody's running around believing and listening to and passing around the rumor mill. It's all lies. Every single bit of it is a lie. And Jay, in his search for the truth, has forced some of them to admit that they have been purposely printing lies. Purposely printing lies. So you need to read it before you go off with your head screwed on backwards, yelling the sky is falling. And in this case, that's exactly what people are yelling. The sky is falling! The sky is falling! The contrails are coming! I can see them falling down to the ground! They're poisoning people and we're all dying! The emergency rooms and the hospitals are packed wall to wall! All lies. All lies. All. Every bit of it. Lies. Okay? Now, don't believe me. I'm telling you what I know, but I'm also telling you, don't believe me unless you can prove it in your own research. Once you read that article, it'll give you a head start. And If you can prove it wrong, we're interested in discovering that. But I think you're going to find that you cannot only not prove it wrong. You're going to find out there is absolutely no scientific evidence or proof of any of the stuff that you've been believing about the contrails. For instance, nothing has ever been tested and linked to contrails as producing illness, sickness, poisonous effects, or anything else in any human being or animal. Ever. Not once. Not once, ever. The hospitals are not full of people sick and dying from contrail poisoning anywhere in the country. And if you don't believe it, go down to any hospital and see for yourself. Anywhere. All lies. And the people who are putting out and promoting these rumors are liars. 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 How about that? I tell it like it is. You know me, folks. I don't mince any words at all. I suppose by now most of you have heard that Richard Hoagland has suffered a massive heart attack and is in the hospital down in Florida. I don't know how serious it is. I wish him speedy recovery. We have never wished anyone ill health on this broadcast. And Art Bell has gone off the deep end, as usual. Absolutely gone off the deep end. He is now blaming those who have criticized Richard Hoagland's poor, non-existent science, his ravings, if you will, for his heart attack. And the particular broadcast that I listened to, he is specifically berating another radio show that apparently has been practicing character assassination against Richard Hoagland and has been having somebody on, I believe his name is Robert A.M. Stevens, who has viciously attacked Richard Hoagland. We don't practice character assassination here, folks. So some of you called me and emailed me and wanted to know if it was me that Art Bell was attacking. And it is not. It is not me. We have never assassinated anyone's character on this broadcast. We have taken to task Richard Hoagland's theories and scientific explanations and his claims that there's a face on Mars and that the aliens were going to land on December the 7th, and a whole lot of other absolute phony bullshit stories. And we will continue to do so. See, just because he's had a heart attack doesn't all of a sudden change all of those things that he's been claiming into correct assertions. They are not. They are still, well, if you want to know the truth, they're just not true. They are lies. There's no scientific background for any of it. None of it whatsoever. And people revealing that fact has nothing to do with whether or not Richard Hoagland had a heart attack. So for those of you who think that Art Bell was criticizing me, to tell you quite frankly, I don't give a damn if he's criticizing me or not, but in this instance, he's not. He is not. He specifically referred to another talk show host who has a website who has been practicing character assassination against Richard Hoagland for the last few weeks. Richard Hoagland's name has not come up on this broadcast for the last few weeks. In fact, for the last couple, 2 or 3 or 4 months, I don't believe. And he also specifically stated that this person has been having guests on his show. And I believe it's the one that I just cited a couple of minutes ago, who has been attacking Richard Hoagland's character. Well, it couldn't have been us in the first place, because we don't attack people's character. We attack the facts. We expose the facts. You'll never hear this broadcast or me attacking anyone's character. I don't do that. If someone's a socialist, I'll reveal that. I'll tell you that they're a socialist. But if they have a drinking problem, you will not hear me on this broadcast begin to berate them because they have a drinking problem. It has nothing to do with the facts, ladies and gentlemen. None of it does. If they're gay, you will not hear me attacking them because they're gay. I don't do that. Or any other thing like that. I know all about human nature, the human condition, and I know that there's no one who is innocent, and everyone has flaws and secret skeletons in their closet and everything else, including me, including every single person listening to this broadcast. And so we deal with facts there. Art Bell just went completely off the deep end and blamed this person, whoever it is. I think it's the guy that has the sightings broadcast. He also has a large website on the internet. But I'm not sure about that. Whoever it is has been having this other person as a guest who's been raving about Richard Hoagland. But it doesn't make any difference. Even if they were attacking Richard Hoagland's character, Art Bell is wrong. He's full of crap, as always, by blaming somebody else for Richard Hoagland's heart attack. Heart attacks are not caused by what other people say. They're caused by ill health, poor health, bad habits, a weak heart, clogged arteries, all kinds of things, but none of the things that Art Bell is blaming it on. None of those things cause people to have a heart attack. Not one, ladies and gentlemen. And then he went on to stir up more hysteria and fear in the nation. Art Bell read either an email posting or a letter from who he said was a scientist, but he would not reveal the name of this scientist, stating instead that we would all recognize his name if we heard it. And he claimed that Richard Hoagland was getting so close to the truth that his life was in danger, insinuating that this heart attack may have been attempted murder. More bullshit. Not true. And reading that this so-called great scientist said that nothing that anyone can do can stop what is going to happen. We're on the verge of a monumental, earth-shattering strike that can only be affected by two different countries. The United States is not one of the two. And he said, the small nation, insinuating, I guess, that there's going to be a terrible terrorist strike in the United States, something along the lines of an atomic bomb or something. And if it happens, it'll mean that Art Bell and whoever this guy he was reading the letter from knew all about it to begin with. And it wouldn't surprise me a bit, ladies and gentlemen. But why is he stirring up so much fear and mass hysteria amongst the population of this country? Why is he doing that? And why aren't you taking him to task over it? Did you see him on Larry King Live the other night, this last weekend? Unbelievable. The things this guy gets away with. It's unbelievable. And I know that many of you listen to him every night. You're Art Bell addicts. How can you get so hooked on mass hysteria, lies, absolute fraud? I would estimate that at least 85 to 90% of all his guests are con men, fakes, flakes, New Age Wookiees, scam artists, and otherwise purveyors of massive amounts of bullshit. Has the population absolutely lost its mind, its ability to reason or think? Are you so absolutely depraved that you must have your fix of these things on a nightly basis? And if so, why? Another friend of mine, Robert Sterling, wrote a piece on the recent death of Stanley Kubrick, whom you will remember is responsible for the movie 2001, Dr. Strangelove, A Clockwork Orange, in which he literally took to task, in all of these different movies, the propensity of the average human person to just absolutely go bananas over this kind of stuff. They pointed out that in Dr. Strangelove, by the time that the movie was three quarters over, the audience was rooting for the bomb to be dropped and Armageddon to begin. In A Clockwork Orange, the audience sits transfixed, enjoying the torture of one youth by several others, and then after he has been tortured and maimed and mutilated, they force him to watch as they rape his wife. And the audience just eats it up. It was as if Stanley Kubrick was laughing at the human race, as if he was absolutely setting out to verify that you are not people, but cattle after all. A nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who have no intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent. If I didn't know any better, I would think Art Bell was a creation of Stanley Kubrick.
Gather around me, buddy. Hold your glasses high and drink to a fool, a crazy fool. I told his baby goodbye. He loves her so much, he wants to die. But a drink to a fool, a crazy fool, who told his baby goodbye. He needs her. He needs her so. He wonders why he let her go. She's fine, but new love, buddy. He's a lucky guy. So drink to a fool, 'cause I'm that fool. Told my baby goodbye. He needs her. He needs her so. He wonders why he let her go. She's fine. Love, buddy. He's a lucky guy. So drink to a fool, 'cause I'm that fool who told my baby goodbye. Who told my baby goodbye. Who told.
By the way, folks, if you live in the Round Valley of Arizona, Maybe you've noticed, maybe you haven't. There's feds everywhere. Federal agents are everywhere in this valley right now. I don't know what they're doing, but we know who they are, where they are, every single moment from the time that they enter this area. And by area, I mean from as far away as Sholo Pine Top, Nutrioso, Alpine, Pie Town. Our people are everywhere. And as soon as they're spotted, they're tracked wherever they go. They think they're undercover. These people are so arrogant, they have no idea what undercover is. They drive these vans and cars and things that have the, they're white, or they're Victorias, Crown Victorias, Fords, and those can be just about any color, but they have certain specific colors that they really like, and that's what the government buys. And then the rest of them are white, but they have the black windows. They're not just stained windows, ladies and gentlemen, they're black. It's against the law to have windows that dark. And so, in their efforts to work undercover so that you can't see inside of their vehicles, they give themselves away. So when you see these things with the real, I don't mean tinted, I don't mean stained, I don't mean smoky, I mean black. That's how dark the windows are. Those are feds, federal agents. Right now there's a whole bunch of them all over this place. And don't worry, we know where they are all the time. And after they check in somewhere, we even know all their names. It's amazing how silly this becomes. You know, they don't realize that they have so terrorized and alienated the population that almost everybody is against them. The only ones that like them are the cops. For some reason, somebody's brainwashed the cops to think that they're all brothers. What a ridiculous, childish notion that is. Anyway, we've known that they were here for some time now, and now you all know. Let me see here. Oh. For those of you who have not read our affidavit and jurisdictional challenge to the Internal Revenue Service and the jurisdiction of the United States government and the United States District Courts, which are territorial courts, by the way, and there is not one of the states of the several states which is a territory of the United States, and therefore they have no jurisdiction. We have also researched and done away with the notion that there are revenue districts in the United States. There are not. The only districts that we can find that even come close are customs districts. There are no internal revenue districts in the United States, and so the district director of your local internal revenue district is a fraud. There is no such thing in the law. And without it, without it, they have no authority or jurisdiction. Now, you all think I'm crazy. I know. Most of you have never read our affidavit and jurisdictional challenge. None of you have ever researched the law because you think it's so difficult, and it's not. You file and pay taxes, ladies and gentlemen, because your mommy told you to. Your mommy told you to. The only thing in the world you do that doesn't make any sense, basically. I mean, most things you can rationalize and at least cause to make some sense, even if it's nonsensical completely. But this you cannot, you see, because nobody in their right mind would pay the huge sums of money that you are paying simply because somebody told you to. Why? Can't you find it in the law and justify what you're doing? Well, you can't because somebody told you that you're not smart enough, which is the first wrong thing that you ever believed. And even if you didn't believe it and you did look in the law, you wouldn't be able to find it because it does not exist. It's not there. And I've proven it. And I've challenged the Internal Revenue Service and the government to prove me wrong, and they cannot do it. They've defaulted on my challenge. Under the law, they've defaulted, which means that I can now presume in the law that everything that I have said that they have failed to disprove is fact. That's what the law says, ladies and gentlemen. He who remains silent consents. That's one of the most basic precepts in the law. That's why if you allow somebody to squat on your land for 7 years, that land can become theirs. All they have to do is go into court and file the paper. It's theirs. Because you didn't object. You remained silent. You see? Well, you know, we're winning on a lot of fronts. And I know you've been conned into believing by the Internal Revenue Service and a bunch of people who spout nothing but lies that nobody ever wins against these people, but they do all the time. People are winning all over the place. And for several years now, some of the people that I know who are doing what I'm doing, researching the law and finding out what the law really says, not what mommy told me, but what the law really says, they've been working with a special agent of the Internal Revenue Service for several years. His name is Joe Bannister. He was an Internal Revenue Service special agent working in the Criminal Investigation Division of the Internal Revenue Service. Many months ago, several people, Bill Conklin, attorney Larry B. Craft, D.B. Kidd, Bill Benson, began a dialogue with Joe Bannister and challenged him and gave him what they had researched in the law and asked him to prove them wrong. Well, Joe Bannister began almost a 2-year research into the information that the Internal Revenue Service, his boss, had never taught him. You see, when people go to work for these outlaw organizations, they want a job. And so they're not going to question anything. They go to these training sessions, and they are told what to believe, and they are told what to do and how to do it, and they are told who are tax protesters and who are criminals, and all of these things, and they believe it, and they go to work, and they do their job, because that's what everybody does when they get a job. You just do your job. You know, like Hitler's SS? Oh, I was just following my orders. I was just doing my job. Yes, sir, I'm not a criminal. I was just a soldier. I was just doing my job. When I murdered all those people, I was ordered to do it. It's not my fault. Right? Right, folks? Well, for almost 2 years, Joe pored over all this information that he'd been given. He studied. He researched. He asked questions. He pored over the Internal Revenue Service manuals. And a few weeks ago, Joe submitted a 90-page report to his superiors at the Internal Revenue Service. In his report, Joe informed his superiors that he had found the following information to be legally accurate and factual, and what I'm going to read to you is only a partial list. 1. There is no federal law requiring an American citizen working and living in one of the 50 states to file an income tax return or pay income tax. 2. The 16th Amendment did not provide Congress with any new taxing authority, did not do away with the prohibition in the Constitution against levying a direct tax upon the people, but merely reversed an earlier United States Supreme Court decision, thus placing the income tax forever within the category of a privilege tax or an excise tax, in effect, a tax for doing something that you have no natural right to do as a citizen. And only those things can be taxed, and they are what is taxed. The income from the doing of these things is just the way they measure the tax. 3. The so-called 16th Amendment was never properly ratified, and therefore, having never received the blessings of the Union States, it is only a federal law which applies to Washington, D.C. and its territories, and does not reach or extend beyond the territorial boundaries of any of the several states. 4. The United States operated each year exclusively by loans provided by the Federal Reserve, which is a 100% private banking institution and is not a government agency, as not one penny of income tax goes to the United States Treasury, but rather 100% of the tax collected goes directly to the Federal Reserve banks. In short, it's like I've always told you, ladies and gentlemen, I've always told you this, and he confirms it right here. The Internal Revenue Service acts exclusively as the collection department of the Federal Reserve banking system. How about that? And that's just very few of the things contained in his 90-page report. Here's a letter from Joe Bannister. Wasn't written to me. Actually, it was written to a lot of people. I was one of the recipients. Dear friends, well, the day of reckoning has arrived. Now remember, this is a special agent of the Internal Revenue Service, of the Criminal Investigation Division of the Internal Revenue Service, speaking here. This is his letter. He wrote this. Dear friends, well, the day of reckoning has arrived. On February the 11th, 1999, in my capacity as a special agent and federal law enforcement officer sworn to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, I submitted a preliminary report to the Chief of the Internal Revenue Service Criminal Investigation Division for the Central California District. My report summarized my findings regarding allegations that the income tax and filing of federal income tax returns is voluntary, that the 16th Amendment was never ratified, and that income taxes are not used to pay for daily government operations. In order to ensure that unnecessary and unwarranted delay would not occur, I requested that my report be forwarded to top officials in the Internal Revenue Service up to and including Commissioner Charles O. Rosati. And I respectfully requested that the commissioner or his designee respond to the evidence in my report within 30 days. Today, my chief called me into his office and gave me a memorandum. The memorandum, dated February the 17th, 1999, read in part, and I quote, "The Internal Revenue Service will not be responding to your request and will provide you with the necessary paperwork to tender your resignation. You will be placed on administrative leave effective upon receipt of this memorandum for a period of 7 calendar days to consider what actions you wish to take." End quote. He continues, "I was told that officials at the highest levels of the Internal Revenue Service were consulted regarding a response to my report. Apparently, I have now joined the ranks of every other taxpayer who ever was ignored or otherwise rebuffed by the Internal Revenue Service when they petitioned the Internal Revenue Service for a reasonable explanation. The only conclusion that I can reach is that those officials thought it was better to rebuff my request and pass up a golden opportunity to prove my research wrong than to have to admit that so-called tax protesters, and other supporters of the United States Constitution have been right all along. Ironically, had the Internal Revenue Service taken the time to address my concerns, or perhaps performed the simple task of proving the allegations wrong, I would have gladly been their spokesman, advising taxpayers not to fall for these untrue allegations for the rest of my career. As the memorandum states, I have until Friday, February 26, 1999, the day after the 86th anniversary of the alleged ratification of the 16th Amendment, to tender my resignation. This is certainly a sad day in my life. Although I was hoping for a better result, I learned today, after over 2 years of investigation, that the Internal Revenue Service is everything the so-called tax protesters said it was: non-responsive, unable to withstand scrutiny, tyrannical, and an agency oblivious to the rule of law and the United States Constitution. May God help us all. Joseph R. Bannister. Now, I only got about 500 copies of this because everybody in the world, as soon as they found it, sent it to me, not knowing that I was already in receipt of this and much more besides, including the 90-page report. So, put that in your pipe and smoke it, especially all you sheeple out there that have been, bah, bah, oh, those tax protesters up on the hill, they give our city a bad name. No, no, you sheep, you ignorant, stupid sheeple, you give our city a bad name. I follow the law.
There's a place called Kokomo. That's where you wanna go to get away from it all. Bodies in the sand. Drop the cocaine in your hand. We'll be falling in love to the rhythm of a field on sand. Down in Kokomo. I'm gonna take you to the moon.
Can you believe so many people are running around this country doing things because somebody else told them that's what they're supposed to do, and they never, ever even bent one little finger to determine whether it was right or not? And if they did, you know how they would do it? They would ask somebody else. Because somebody has convinced them, and they believe it, they're convinced that they're stupid, that they are incapable of reading and understanding the English language, that they're incapable of using a law dictionary, that they're incapable of reading the law and understanding what other human beings meant when they passed it. The Constitution, most people in this country have never seen it, much less read it, and don't own a copy. Because they've been convinced, and most of them believe, that it is a long, complicated document way beyond their ability to understand it. Yet it was written, ladies and gentlemen, in the 1700s by men who didn't even have an education equal to a high school student today. Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. It contains 7 articles, can be read from beginning to end in less than an hour, is easy to understand, sets up all the conditions for government. In fact, it is the government. Bill Clinton's not the government, folks. Neither is Janet Reno. Neither is the FBI. Neither is Congress. They are only functions of government as long as they are conforming to the powers and restrictions granted to them in the Constitution for the United States of America, which is the government and which is the supreme law of the land. I get disgusted when I see people talking about their rights who have never read this document, haven't got the slightest idea what a right is, much less what rights they have or which rights are protected by the Constitution for the United States of America. Makes me sick. Makes me want to pull out their shirt pocket and puke right in it. Blech. Really? It's the truth. It's disgusting. Otherwise, intelligent, decent, wonderful people, when it comes to something as simple as this, with such monumental importance in their lives, turn into simpering, cowardly, stupid, sheep. Who must have a shepherd? And the Judas goat to follow around everywhere they go. You wonder why sometimes I really get uptight. I get uptight because this is inexcusable. I cannot excuse this. I have friends that get mad at me because I insist that they use the brains that God gave them and will not settle for anything less. They get mad at me. It's okay with me. They get as mad as they want. And don't think I'm talking just to you, because I got a lot of friends that get mad at me because I insist they use their brains. Insist. Will not settle for anything less. And I don't want them around me unless they are using their brains. I just don't want them around me. Doesn't mean I don't like them. Doesn't mean I don't think they're nice, wonderful, decent people. It just means I will not tolerate it. Will not. You see, I learned something a long time ago. People will live up to what is expected of them. And if nothing is expected of them, they will live up to nothing. They will be nothing. They will do nothing. They will think nothing. They will read nothing. They will accomplish nothing. And so people who are around me are expected to be and to live up to certain things. And if they don't, I let them know. I let them know. Thank you. only the very best music here on the Hour of the Time and on 101.1 FM Eager. Yeah, we have a system in our family. Everyone is expected to live up to certain standards and certain performance in this family. And if they don't, there's consequences for that. Even my 3-year-old daughter has sent me to my room. You see, it works all the way around, ladies and gentlemen. And there are rewards. When my daughter demonstrated a certain degree of responsibility and wanted to have her own broadcast on Saturday morning, I didn't say, no, you're not old enough. I said, fine, here are the rules. Here's what you can say. Here's what you can't say. You have to start exactly at this time and end exactly at that time. Other than that, it's all yours. Go get it. And she does it every Saturday morning. Most adults, from my experience watching adults with their children, would have said, no, you're not old enough. And it's not true. Children will live up to what is expected of them. If your children are juvenile delinquents, it's because you have allowed them to become juvenile delinquents. You have given them no expectations to meet, and you have given them no consequences for their actions. While we're at this auspicious moment, you're listening to WBCQ Monticello, Maine, USA. This is the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. How many of you have been out somewhere and seen a mother with her little children? And they're doing something absolutely obnoxious right out in public, and they're not supposed to be doing it. And she's saying, now, Jenny, don't do that. Now, Jenny, don't do that. Now, Jenny, you stop that. Now, stop it, Jenny. Now, Jenny, you stop it. Now, Jenny, don't do that. And this goes on for about 15 or 20 minutes. Why do you suppose that the child is still doing it? Because the only consequence is this terrible, naggy wailing from the mother's voice and nothing else. And so the child, knowing that this is the only consequence, turns that voice off. Turns it off, doesn't even listen to it. Now, a lot of you women are going to get angry when I say this, but it's absolutely true. Most poorly behaved children, and most juvenile delinquents come from single-parent homes in which the parent is the mother. Now you can cry and scream and yell and castigate me all you want to. Every statistic in the world will bear it out. It's true. Now, that's not to say that all fathers are good fathers, or that all fathers expect their children to live up to certain standards and furnish consequences if they don't. But most fathers do. Most women, for some reason, I don't know the reason, don't. And that's not an attack upon women. It's a fact, supportable by the statistics. I have a friend who, since he has met me, has taken his eldest daughter out of school, is homeschooling her, and one of the first things that he gave her to read and study is the Constitution for the United States of America. And she's just a little girl. And guess what? She loves it. Being treated like babies. Children do not like being treated like babies. They want to learn. They want to excel. They want to know that they belong. They want to be accepted. They want to be loved. They want to be recognized for their accomplishments And no matter how small their accomplishments are, you must learn to recognize those accomplishments and give them credit. You must also learn when they do something that is absolutely not acceptable, there must be a consequence for that action. In this family, they get a good talking to and they get sent to their room. And while they like to go to their room and play on their own, when they're sent to their room, they absolutely hate it. Don't ask me to explain that because I don't have an explanation for it, but it works. Something else might work with your children. This may not work with your children. I'm not telling you to do what we do. I'm just telling you that in our family, there are rewards for accomplishment, for doing what you're supposed to do, for living up to expectations. And there are consequences for not doing those things. And that's how people learn to live in society. If people are brought up in society learning that there are no consequences for their actions, they become delinquents or criminals. Don't you know that, folks? You should. Now, the reason I'm talking about children, because the same thing applies to adults. The same thing applies to adults. Adults, like children, will live up to what they are expected to live up to in their community. And whatever is accepted with no consequences against that action will become the norm. Some children don't learn anything from their parents, apparently. They have to learn it from somebody else. And that's a bad way to learn it, because it might be from a jailer, or it might be from a neighbor who is just absolutely strained to the max someday with rude behavior and just puts his fist right through their scrawny little stinking nose. They certainly don't get any discipline in school. Not anymore. Nor are they taught much. You see, whatever applies to children applies to adults. I've told you this many times. If you don't believe it, check it out for yourself. Go down to any high school. Spend a week in a high school. Get permission from the principal. Tell him you're doing some research on social interaction. And watch the social structure of the high school. Once you've got a handle on what that is and what makes things happen in high school and who pulls the strings and who the children follow, extend that out into the community. And you will then know how the community works. Thank you. Beautiful. We don't hear much of that kind of music anymore, folks. What's happened to the airwaves? They've deteriorated. I want to, at this time, take a few moments to thank the Jacobs Family Trust for their donation to the television fund, and Jeff from Fuller Ford, who has also donated twice, and between those two, that makes up the three total donations we've had from the Round Valley. The rest of you in the Round Valley who are anticipating and looking forward to your new television station, get off your butts, get out your wallet, and contribute to make it happen. You know, we're not rich up here on this hill. In fact, far from it. Dear Mr. Cooper, this 1907 MS-62 St. Gaudens $20 coin is a contribution to the television project. It is the very first coin I ever purchased from Gene Miller after learning why owning precious metals in the form of real money was important. Now, I cannot imagine putting it to any better use than to place it in the hands of the man who opened my eyes to the machinations of the philosophers of fire, so that you can help to educate the millions of others who so desperately need to wake up. We are so close to getting the TV project up and running, and time is running so short. I thought it imperative to dig a little deeper. What will it take to get the vast majority of our countrymen to come to realize how perilously close they are to throwing it all away? The TV project is the best means to accomplish that end. I want to do my part to help educate the people in my area by arranging the weekly broadcasts on the local cable access channel. As soon as all the parameters are set and the broadcast tapes are ready to go, I am volunteering to do that job here. Well, that's personal. He wants me to send some stuff to Bob Swan, and it's personal information. Above all else, I want to do what is right and live my life knowing the truth about my lawful duties and obligations, listening to the hour of the time, and then duplicating your research and that of some of your guests has set me on that path. I will be listening again tonight. Sincerely, Rick. Thank you, Rick. You certainly will be the person that gets the tapes to do the weekly broadcast on your local cable access channel. You've earned that several times over. Now, folks, we have received about, I have no idea what this coin is worth, and we won't know until it's sold, but I expect probably about $500. And so we now need about $2,200 more to finish the television project. So what are you waiting for? And let me ask you this, why in hell are you waiting? And who are you waiting for and what? And why do you have to make me ask these questions? Don't you care? Don't you care? Are you going to make a campaign fund contribution to your favorite liar in Washington, D.C.? Is that what you're waiting for? Is it? Well, if it is, I wish you luck.
sliding with a long tall salad. Speaking and I hide and ducking back in the alley. Don't wanna rip it up, don't wanna dance with Fanny. I've got a brand new lover, name it Short Fat Fanny. One day when I was visiting at Heartbreak Hotel, that's where I met Fanny and she looked well. I told her that I love her, I never leave. She put her arm around me, gave me fever. She's my tootie booty, I love the child for it. She walks me like a hound dog everywhere I go. Whenever I'm around, I'm on my P's and Q's. She might step on my blue suede shoe. Well, at a honky-tonk party just the other night, Fanny got jealous and started a fight. Because I was dancing with Mary Lou, I had to haul Jim Danny to the rescue. Short Fat Fanny, see my heart desire. Short Fat Fanny, put my soul on fire. On Monday we were married on Blueberry Hill. Now we so happy and I love her still. On my blue suede shoes. Well, and a honky tonk party just the other night, Fanny got jealous and started a fight. Cause I was dancing with Mary Lou, I had to call Jim Dandy to the rescue. Thought that Fanny is my heart to die. Got the kind of love and set my soul on fire. Thought that Fanny, well, I love her so. I'll never let Short Fat Fanny go.
Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do on television now because you can't see me over the radio. I do all kinds of crazy things in the studio and dance to the music and all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to be able to do that on television. Or maybe I will. Maybe I'll just do what I always do. I don't know yet. We're grooming Pooh, my daughter Dorothy, to maybe be the hostess with the mostess of the television broadcast. And if that happens, a lot of you are going to feel really, really, really down when an 8-year-old girl puts you to shame. I may not do it just for that reason, because you don't need to feel any lower than you've already been taught to feel by those who profess to love you and teachers who train you to go out and get a job instead of start your own business and be the boss. Because
you got to work for other people because you're just not smart enough, Johnny, to do what the guy down the street's done you there, see.
Can't have smart people in the New World Order, folks. That's just not acceptable. Have you heard what the FCC is doing now? Since all these people that I've been trying to teach for years, since I did the first broadcast on it in 1992, jurisdictional challenges to the FCC, if you're an interstate broadcaster. People didn't believe me, you see. They still kept challenging the FCC on constitutional grounds of right of free speech. They kept, challenging them on grounds that the cost to get a license and open a station is so high that they're denying the common man the right to access to the airwaves. All of the things that have no bearing whatsoever. The proper challenge is the FCC does not have jurisdiction to regulate intrastate broadcasting, whether commercial or non-commercial, makes no difference, because the only authority that the Constitution gives the federal government is over interstate and international commerce, where broadcasting is concerned. And if you ever go to the FCC webpage on the internet, the very first sentence at the top of that page says the FCC's job is to regulate international and interstate commerce in broadcasting. Finally, some people began to listen to me got their nose in the books, found out I was right, and took the FCC to task on jurisdictional challenges and won. And so now the FCC wants to create a special class license for low power and micro broadcasting stations such as this one. That's a trap. You see, they want to suck you into getting a license so that you give them voluntarily jurisdiction over you when they don't have it to begin with. Ay, Chihuahua. It is so hard to educate my fellow Americans. Whenever you hear somebody refer to you as the masses, that's a closet socialist, watch out. They're not on our side. It's the American people, the people, the citizens of the United States of America, or the citizens of your state, my fellow Americans, neighbors, friends, countrymen, never, ever the masses. Do you understand what I'm saying? And anytime you hear somebody call you or call us collectively the masses, you're listening to a Hegelian plant who is a closet socialist pretending to be on our side. Don't fall for it. Okay, here we go. Our annual sale, ladies and gentlemen, something that many of you look forward to every year. All books, I don't care what they are, books that we have in stock, 25% off, including my book, Oklahoma City Day One, any books that we have. All videotapes and audio tapes, 40% off. All videotapes and audio tapes, 40% off. All books, 25% off. All video and audio tapes, 40% off. Now, some of you have been waiting and scrimping and saving to buy the Mystery Babylon series. Listen to me carefully. For members, the regular price is $260 for the set. For members, the regular price is $260 for the set. Now, $156. That's 40% off. Now you can have that set that you've been scrimping and saving for $156. Listen to me carefully. For non-members, the regular price was $290. Now you can have it for $174. $174 for non-members. That's the Mystery Babylon series of tapes that will open your eyes, that will expose you to information that will just blow you away. The audio book, Behold a Pale Horse, usually $19.95 for everybody. It's now $15 postpaid. These are all postpaid prices, folks. For videotapes, just take whatever videotape it is, deduct 40% and send it in. For instance, the Zapruder tape. For members, normally $30, now $18. For non-members, normally $40, now $24. See what I mean? Audio tapes, members, usually $9 for a one-hour tape, it's now $5. Usually $10 for a two-hour tape, it's now $6. Usually $11 for a three-hour tape, is now $7. For non-members, usually $10 for a one-hour tape, is now $6. Usually $11 for a two-hour tape, is now $7. Usually $12 for a three-hour tape, is now $8. This is your chance. The sale starts March the 15th. The sale begins March the 15th. It ends April the 15th. Anything postmarked after April the 15th, these prices will not be honored. Will not be honored. We've got two other things for you based upon the recommendations given by the experts that we had as telephone guests. On the night we did the broadcast on radios, we have a Bearcat 235 XLT 300 channel programmable handheld trunk tracker scanner, $250. Normally sells for $499.95. $250. We have a Bearcat, now that's not including shipping, folks. not including shipping. You'll have to call and find out the shipping to where you live. And it has to be a physical address. It will be shipped UPS. If you call us, tell us where you live, your zip code, we can give you the shipping charge. Then you'll know what to send us. That's faster than doing it through the mail. We also have the Bearcat 895 XLT, 300-channel programmable base scanner with trunk tracker technology. Normally sells for around $400, $250. So you get the handheld or the base trunk tracking scanners for $250, whichever one you want. From us, right now. Folks, how about that? So we're also trying to get a hold of some tube receivers so that we can offer you, those of you who cannot find any in your local area, a two really good functioning, wonderful tube type receiver that you can purchase and use. Okay? Now, if you want to know anything about the sale that you didn't understand tonight, call between 12 noon and 5 p.m. Between 12 noon and 5 p.m. my time. That's Mountain Standard Time. Okay? And if you can't figure out how to compute the time, then find somebody who can before you call, because if you call me before noon or after 5, I'm going to be a little short and upset with you, because I've made it very clear that I have set aside 5 hours just for you. Don't take away from my research time, and don't take away from my family. Please. Okay? So call me between 12 noon and 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and either I or Annie will be happy to answer your questions and help you out with our annual sale. We haven't had one in a long time. We usually have one every year, and it's usually right after New Year's. This one's a little late, but here it is. And that's all the stuff that I've got for you, folks. We'll spend the rest of this hour on the telephone with you. The number's 520-333-4578. That's 520-333-4578. What did I do? I was going to play some music, but somehow I skipped it up to the next one, and it's got to search through this thing and all that kind of stuff before it finds it. Oops. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill, and glad to hear you back on the air. I'm a longtime listener. And I'm going to send you a donation to help with the TV project.
Excellent. We're so close to meeting our goal.
I hope everybody else out there will send you something, too. I have a couple of questions for you. There's a lot of rumors floating around about a dry run of the National Guard, I guess it is, imposing some kind of a martial law thing on May the 15th, or at least making a dry run of it. I want to know if you've heard of it. And what do you think of it, the chances are of that happening?
What it's supposed to be is a dry run of mobilizing the National Guard to deal with Y2K emergencies.
Okay.
That's what they say it is.
Do you believe it?
I don't believe a thing that anybody in Washington, D.C. ever says anymore, and haven't believed anything that they've said for a long, long time. It's the biggest pack of chronic liars that have ever existed upon the face of the earth. Anybody who believes them is a fool in my estimation.
Amen. Do you think it would be would this be an opportunity for them to possibly institute real martial law?
No, they'll have plenty of opportunity come toward the end of the year.
Okay. Do you look for them to try to pick up the guns or do some kind of a gun confiscation scheme?
Oh, yes. If they use Y2K, now I'm not saying they're going to do this, and they won't unless the people, you know, panic and cause situations that will give them the excuse to do it. Mm-hmm. If that happens, yes, absolutely. They'll take every advantage that they possibly can while they have the chance to do it. You better believe it. They want world government. They want disarmed citizenry in every country. They don't want any challenge to the new social order.
Right. Absolutely. Are you familiar Dr. John Coleman?
Yes.
What do you think about his Committee of 300? Does that book pretty well sum up the real puppet masters, let's say?
No. No, not at all.
No, not at all?
No. I've given you the secret religion whereby all of the philosophy governing the propulsion of the end of the New World Order comes from. But it's not just one group of 300 people. This is a consensus of people who subscribe to the philosophy of fire worldwide. And they belong to a lot of different groups.
Specifically the Freemason, would that be close?
No, but I've done so much on this, staggers my mind when somebody says something like that. It's not just the Freemasons, and it's not ever the Freemasons on the bottom rungs of the ladder. It is collectively the highest degrees of all of the so-called fraternal orders who collectively are of one mind and one body and one secret world government. They're known as the Illuminati. And the organizations which they have infiltrated and implanted their philosophy and control through their influence. The Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the group that goes annually to the Bohemian Grove, the International, the World Zionist Conference.
Bilderbergers and so forth like that?
Yes.
All these groups?
The World Council of Churches. The hierarchy that heads the organizations and foundations that control the New Age movement. There is no king anywhere. And there's not a few men who are calling all the shots. It's a philosophy. It's a belief. It's a shared consensus of opinion with a lot of people known as the Thousand Points of Light, all working toward that one goal, which they all sincerely believe will be best for all humanity.
Well, let's hope they never succeed.
I hope they never succeed.
I hope they never succeed.
In fact, I'll do everything in my power to make sure that they don't.
You bet. Well, thanks, Bill. Good luck, and I'll be sending that donation.
You're welcome. And your donation will be very deeply appreciated.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Did you hear anything tonight that pushed your button or that you'd like to comment about? And if so, dial the number. Let's hear from you. Yeah. do that, folks. Come and get your love now. What's the matter with you? Come and get your love now. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill. This is Bill from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I was wondering if you had heard of or the audience had heard of the death of that great humanitarian, Jovan West.
Oh, Louis Jolly, yeah, I announced it on the radio the day that he died, as a matter of fact. The foremost expert in mind control in the country, the head of the Neuropsychiatric Institute of UCLA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I didn't know, I hadn't listened to you that much, but I didn't know if you'd known that, but this article I read just said he was a great humanitarian civil rights. It was just as funny as could be.
Oh, sure he was. His mind control operations were responsible for SYNC and the Symbionese Liberation Army and Charles Manson and a whole bunch of other people and atrocities.
Okay, Bill, I just didn't know if you'd known that or not, so I just wanted to let you know if you hadn't. So.
Well, I appreciate that. Where you been?
Huh?
Where you been?
Oh, I've been moving all over the country, moved from Ohio to Memphis to Seattle and now in Michigan, and still listening to shortwave, but I hadn't heard you for a few years, and I thought you was on audio or something, one of those VCR-type things, or satellite, that's what it was.
Well, I'm just a
shortwave man, so that's the only place I could ever pick you up, and I just heard you lately, and was on 7415.
Oh, welcome back.
Okay, thank you, Bill, and you keep up the good work, bud.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Okay, bye.
We are slowly but surely regaining our old audience, and I suspect that eventually we'll get right back up there on top. This was the number one shortwave broadcast in the world at one time. And it will be again. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Brother Bill.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, did I ever meet you at a gun show out in L.A.? Great Western gun show.
You may have. I don't remember.
Well, you sound sure familiar, and your name sounds familiar, and I've met a lot of people. I lived in Southern California 15 years. Used to go to every big L.A. gun show out there and met all kinds of people like the fellow Alan Gottlieb from the Second Amendment Foundation and the rest of it.
Uh-huh.
And it was quite interesting. I mean, movie stars, all kinds of people. Anyway, I'm a Republican, and I hope to see Pat Buchanan and Alan Keyes run. I think it'd be a dynamite combination.
Really? Did you get one of Patrick Buchanan's Christmas cards?
No.
Well,
no, I didn't.
That's a shame. I got one. Guess what was on it?
What?
It was the Washington Monument with a big red bow ribbon tied on the base.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what that signifies, don't you?
Yeah.
The phallus. The penis of Osiris.
Yeah, yeah.
The generative force. He was telling everybody that, you know, screw you.
Basically, yeah.
Basically what he was doing.
But I think if Pat Buchanan pulled together with Alan Keyes, they'd have a winning combination. I think they could do it.
Really? Knowing who he is now that I've just revealed that to you, you still think so?
Well, yeah, but as a, you know, I think he'd appeal to him.
Have you ever seen an honest person who really represented constitutional causes actually and was not functioning in the Hegelian dialectic become so prominent in the media?
Yeah, I know. I know I don't always agree with him, but he's better than what the Democrats may throw up.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, Owl, Hugging Tree, Gore, you know, or whatever, you know. So I could live with Pat Buchanan and Alan Keyes a whole lot better. I'd like to have somebody else, but, you know, we can't have everything we want.
I'd like to go back in the woods and find somebody that's honest, who knows the Constitution and what the law really is, and will dedicate his life to returning it,
hey,
restoring
Bill,
constitutional Republican government.
Bill, you find that guy, you broadcast his name, because I'll go for it.
Well, you know, we're looking for somebody like that. But,
yeah.
You know, I really, if Y2K does its job, if the hysteria whipped up around Y2K does its job, I don't think there'll be any election. But if we manage to keep our cool and they're not able to point to us and say that we're the cause of disruption and declare martial law, then, of course, there will be an election. And we're looking for somebody. If we find somebody, we'll sure tell you about it.
And you mentioned before about gun confiscation that didn't work in Australia.
That's right. Didn't work.
Huh?
It didn't work. There's an article in this issue of Veritas which is in the mail right now, all about it.
And I'm, you know, ordering products from Dr. Wallet these days, and it's great.
Good for you. Yeah, boy, sure.
I'm recruiting people and building the organization. I'm out here in North Carolina.
Sure made me feel good, I'll tell you. And I hope that everybody else who's using those products is getting the same benefit that I've gotten.
How many levels down are you from Dr. Wallet?
I have no idea. I don't care about anything like that.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I figured I was about third. I mean, like, I'm, you know, under you and you're under him, and I don't know.
Oh, no, I'm not under Dr. Wallet.
Oh.
No, not at all. I don't even really know Dr. Wallach, except that when I first found out about this, like I always do, I wanted to make sure that this was not some con job. I called him and talked to him, and we brought him out to do a live broadcast. We're going to do that again sometime in the future, maybe a whole bunch of times in the future. But that's, you know, that's the extent of my acquaintance with Dr. Wallach. I think he's a great man, but I don't really know him personally, other than what I've just told you.
Yeah, well, I'm tied in now with American Longevity and building the business little by little, and it's
good.
You know, I work seasonal. I'm out of work in winter.
You know what's so great about this?
What?
You can build a business that really helps other people.
Oh yeah. Well, I tell my people that my organization. I said this is like being in the beginning of Microsoft.
Yeah, that's true.
It's going to explode.
Yeah.
Because 50% of all the people I talk to, and I give them a dead doctor's tape to listen to, they sign up.
Yeah. That's just amazing. It amazes me
Incredible.
That I had that tape here in the pile of tapes that I was supposed to listen to for months, maybe over a year before, and it took Tim to force me to listen to it before I ever really listened to it.
I said, that's fantastic.
It is. It's just fantastic. It makes you right away in my mind, it occurred to me that this man is a genius, and he's finally telling us the truth that nobody else ever told us, or he's the biggest con man that ever lived.
Oh.
And that's why I contacted him to find out which of those two it was. And he gave me some sites and some papers to look up and articles and publications in the medical journals, and I got up on the internet and found every single one of them and found out that this guy is right as rain. Just absolutely right as rain.
Yeah. If this wasn't a tough time of year, I mean, our work season will get started next month. I'd try and help you out with your TV deal. Because what I'd like to see you do is get on satellite TV, go nationwide, and have Dr. Wallach on there now and then.
Well, I'd like to do that. I'd like to do that too. But unfortunately, if it's so hard to get people to donate to just be able to make tapes, how in the world are we ever going to pay for a transponder on a satellite?
Yeah. But you never know. There might be somebody out there that's got the money and they figure this is a good cause.
Well, if and when it happens, then I'll rejoice. Until then, we'll just plug along as normal and do what we can do.
Pray that it's going to happen and God will open the doors to you to do it.
Well, whatever I'm supposed to do, God always makes it possible for me to do it. Always.
People out there that love you, and I tell people by shortwave radio, and you got to listen to Bill Cooper at night, and he's fantastic, and, you know, it's just something else.
Well, I'm just fantastic by default. There's a lot of other things I'd rather be doing. I'm only doing this because nobody else will do it.
Yeah.
And somebody has to do it. It must be done.
Yeah. And if you find the right candidate that could run this country and do it by constitutional law,
well, if we find such a person, you will be the first to hear about it on this broadcast, I assure you.
Because I'm a conservative Republican from way back in the Ned Barry Goldwater and met Richard Nixon years ago, and, you know, a lot of other people, you know.
Well, one of the first things that we've got to do to return this country to constitutional Republican government is get out of this party mindset. It's destructive. It's not good. In fact, it's just a crock of crap, if you want to know the truth.
I realize that. I mean, there's been times I've voted for Democrats because I knew them.
We should be voting for the right person.
Yeah.
because the person is the right person, and not because he's Republican or Democrat or taxpayer party or libertarian or any other of that absolute no-brain nonsense, because that's what it is. It's airhead, no-brain nonsense.
What they stand for.
If people did that back, when Abraham Lincoln was running, we wouldn't have had an Abraham Lincoln, you know.
I knew how Mr. Clinton was before he was elected. In fact, I'll tell you a little story. I worked for a fiberglass company XYZ in California. I won't use their real name.
I know that company.
And they had a lot of pollutants around it, and the state of California told them it was going to cost them $1 million to put all these filters in their industry to prevent pollution and the rest of that. And they used MEK and all these other nasty chemicals. And so anyway, the company packed up and moved to Arkansas. One of the big shocks that I knew.
Oh, yeah. You told the story before.
Yeah.
On this show, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't remember.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay. You take it easy, B.
Appreciate your call. 520-333-4578 is the number to call. And we're just taking your calls for the rest of the hour. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bill. What do you think of the Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura? I've been hearing that he might run for president.
I don't know what to think of him. He hasn't been governor very long. He hasn't given us any track record to go by. I don't know if he's a clown just playing around. I don't know if he's has any serious intentions of doing anything worthwhile. I don't know if he's understands the Constitution or even the Constitution of his state, for that matter. We'll just have to wait and see. I don't think that this guy would have much luck running for president when he just barely got elected to governor.
Yeah, I just find it, I don't know, I'm just keeping an eye on him. I live near in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and I'm just kind of keeping a wary eye on him because I just find it hard to believe that an independent guy elected to governor to begin with.
Well, I don't find it that hard to believe. You see, Americans are fed up. They're just about ready to try anything.
Oh, I know we're fed up, but it just seems like it's such a racket. The whole political process is just a racket.
Well,
they have the RICO law, bust them all.
It is a racket. And somebody ought to bust them all. They're the biggest collection of liars that ever lived. And I'll tell you the truth. If Jesse Ventura came out tomorrow and announced that he was running for president, I'd laugh him off the planet. I would have to laugh him off the planet. He just ran for governor. He's supposed to be governor. He's supposed to be doing a job in the governor's office in that state.
Well, you might laugh him off the planet, Bill, but maybe you should knock heads with Jesse Ventura and teach him a little bit and be his vice president candidate.
Well, I think if Jesse Ventura was interested in hearing what I had to say, he would call me up and ask me my opinion.
Well, I think you guys have a little in common. I've been listening a little to him, and he's definitely interesting. I heard you talking about the near-fatal heart attack that Richard Hoagland had.
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I kind of was thinking about some of these things I had been hearing over the years, that there is a high-tech type of weapon.
It's not high-tech. It's just an injection of potassium. We'll cause anybody to have a heart attack and die if they don't get medical attention immediately. The potassium is converted into other types of things in the body and is not detectable.
I thought I had
That's been around forever. That's been around forever.
Really? I thought I had heard something about a microwave or an EMP pulse, some sort of electrical type of weapon that could cause you to have a heart attack.
It could cause your heart to fibrillate, which means get out of sync and beat erratically, and that could cause, especially if you had a pre-existing heart condition, could cause a heart attack. But if you had a healthy heart, no, that would just cause your heart to fibrillate and in maybe some discomfort and, that sinking feeling in your chest. But I don't believe that could kill you if you had a healthy heart, no.
It's just kind of a scary thought, Bill, that there are high-tech weapons that could cause certain targeted individuals to have a heart attack, and I'm sure that those evil forces out there would be working on it.
All they have to do is hit you with something that just injects an amount of potassium into your body, and you're going to have a heart attack, and you're going to die.
Okay. Isn't it interesting? corporate chief executive officers seem to be behind George Bush Jr. as being the next president. I heard some sort of a poll that the major corporate CIOs are behind him. Isn't that surprising, though?
No, it doesn't surprise me, because that's the big business following in George Bush's, you know, the first George Bush's footsteps. No, it doesn't surprise me one single bit.
And it doesn't surprise me at all. It's just the same old song and dance.
Yeah.
It's pathetic. It really is.
Besides that, he's the only Republican that's really got a chance to make it.
What do you think about him and his father and his grandfather?
I think they're the biggest bunch of collective family type subversives that there are in this country.
And are probably pretty dangerous people to boot.
You better believe it.
Okay, Bill, you have a good day. Keep up the great work, and I encourage everybody out there to send whatever you can to donate. And why don't you give the address, Bill, to everybody once again? So just a few dollars here or there, maybe sacrifice a beer or give up a cup of coffee or whatever. And
oh, my goodness, you're not asking them to do something so drastic as that, are you?
Instead of having five or six beers at the bar this weekend, you know, maybe cut down and, you know, send a few bucks to Bill to get his project out of the way.
Are you trying to start a revolution? Are you asking them really to do something like that? I can't believe it.
I mean, of all the thousands and thousands of listeners out there, just a few bucks apiece will get you going. Give out your address again, Bill. Have a good day, okay?
I will, thanks. The address, for those of you so inclined, is the Hour of the Time. Remember, we only accept gold or silver coins, cash or blank money orders, nothing else. It's the Hour of the Time, in care of 101.1 FM. That's 101.1 FM. P.O. Box 940. That's P.O. Box 940. Eager. And it doesn't matter how you spell Eager. It's the zip code that counts. Eager, Arizona, 85925. They don't even look at the name of the city or the state anymore. They look at the zip code, and that's where the mail goes. The Hour of the Time, in care of 101.1 FM, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. That's 85925. Okay, the number is still 520-333-4578. Good evening, you're on the air.
Well, this is Mike from Chicago.
Hi, Mike. I need you to talk louder.
Oh, how's that doing?
Are you on some kind of a Rome phone?
No.
Okay.
Anyway, I was sent you an email the last couple of days. I'm sending you a mighty fine computer here, so hopefully it'll help out the television broadcast studio.
Oh, is this Mike?
That's right.
Oh, Mike, yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, it will certainly help out.
Yeah, this is a Pentium 300 with 100 megs of RAM, 56K modem, 8 meg video card. And, yeah, this should do real good.
Well, thanks a lot. We certainly appreciate it, and we do need it. We really do.
Yeah, other than that, I just want to talk about this. I'm a computer technician by trade, and I just want to talk this Y2K problem. It seems like most of these departments and the company that I'm working for are working hard to get these things fixed within their companies. And obviously businesses don't want to be out of commission for any period of time, so they're working to get these things done. If these things don't get done on time and that systems crash and fail and you have shortages and that kind of thing, it's only because these people didn't want to do anything about it. So, like, if a governmental department does, neglects to do these things, it's because they purposely neglected to do it.
Yeah, Mike, your phone is so bad that I doubt that anybody out there listening on shortwave can understand you. It just sounds like a garble, really. I'm having trouble.
About these same types of things.
Well, great. Thanks for calling, Mike.
Okay. Yep.
hate to cut him off because he's contributed so much, but I could hardly understand him, and I know that you can hardly understand him either. So it's not that he doesn't have something to say. He does. And he's been a great contributor over the years. And you heard him. He's sending us a top-notch, top-of-the-line computer, which we need. We burn out computers around here like crazy. I mean, because we use them all the time. 520-333-45. Wow, look at this. We got time for one more call, and that's it. 520-333-4578. If you want to help me close out this broadcast for tonight, give me a call right now, 520-333-4578, and you can put in the last 2 cents of the evening, and then we'll shuffle off to wherever we're shuffling off to. 520-333-4578. Remember, start expecting things of other people, children, adults, friends, family. Don't settle for less than what you think we should all be. Don't do it, because that's part of the decline of the whole country. When's the last time you went to a real top-notch, wonderful restaurant and you put on a coat and tie, and your wife or your girlfriend got all decked up and really dressed really nice, and you went to that wonderful restaurant where it cost you a fortune to have just the best food that you can possibly think of, and you were seated at your table, and then a bunch of raggedy barefoot people in sandals and t-shirts and shorts came in and sat down and just spent the whole evening being rowdy and cussing and just making your life miserable. That's what I'm talking about. You see, we are sinking to the level of the lowest common denominator. That's what socialism is all about. That's what Jerry Springer is all about. That's what all those daytime talk shows are all about on television. They're getting you used to the lowest, vilest, most despicable aspect of our society so that you will accept it. You see, the theory is they're working you with group therapy. That's what these programs are, the group therapy, so that what you thought was bad before will become normal to you now. I know people who watch those things all day. Their mind is disgustingly rotten, and so they're not welcome around here anymore. Now, that's it for tonight, folks. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. And I mean it, each and every single one of you. Now that's music, folks. That's music. You've been missing it.
Thank you.